salvation has been brought down. In John chapter 3 and the verses 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him, through Jesus Christ, might be saved. That might doesn't mean that salvation is an impossibility. Salvation is possible for everyone who chooses to obey God. God created man. God sent his Son. Man sinned. God sent salvation has been brought down, but man has a choice. God has given mankind free will. And sadly, many will choose not to obey. The Bible says many will go down that broad way that leads to destruction, and few find that straight and narrow path. But God has made it possible. And so today, as we stand before you, we're thankful to God for the opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to stand in the gap for the next few minutes to proclaim what thus saith the Lord, and to recognize that God has made it possible for all men everywhere to be saved. And as we think about today, and many call today Super Sunday. I don't like football. Today. Tomorrow would be a different thing. But my point is this. People have come from all over the world, and all the attention will be in one place. Whether people are there physically or not, all the attention. Some people are just concerned with the commercials, but there's a lot of attention for a game. Two teams. One victor. One team tonight will be proclaimed the world champions. So I think it's fitting that we talk today not about football, but about the concept of team, the concept of victory, the concept and the characteristics of a champion. Because as children of God, we need to recognize there's a war going on. We have an adversary. There is a clear opponent, and it's not one another. Brethren, 1 Peter chapter 5, just run over there for me, please. I want to make sure we establish that there is a clear opponent who does not want us to win. And he will do any and everything, including influencing you and me, if we so choose, if we yield to his evil influence. Because you look at some of the greatest crimes in the history of this world. There's been a whole lot of movies about it. It's always an inside job. Because you have intel, inside information. You share that. Some people just happen to leave that door unlocked and somebody happens to get in. So that's just fact. So the devil's influence, you're going to find out that even when Jesus chose those disciples, if you will, those who followed him, there was an inside man. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter the 5th chapter and the verses 8. Who's our opponent? Read.
Be sober.
Be sober, be in control,
Be vigilant.
Be vigilant, be aware. Why? Because your adversary, the adversary. If something has an adverse impact on you, that's a negative impact. Let's pause right there for a minute. Again, you may take some medicine and it has an adverse impact on you, eat some food and it doesn't agree with you and you get sick. That's an adverse impact. It's not for your well-being. So your adversary is one. By definition, an adversary is one who will have a negative impact on you and me, and that's the devil. There's no good when it comes to Satan. Mm-hmm. Be sober, be in control, be vigilant, be aware, because your
Adversary,
one who have a negative impact on you. Come on.
The devil.
Make no mistake about it. You're not my enemy. I'm not your enemy. The devil is. He's God's enemy. And therefore, we who are on God's team, we are directly opposed to the devil. There's no in-between. There's no sugarcoating. Because your adversary, the devil, what does he do?
As a roaring lion. Walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
Walketh about seeking whom he may
Devour.
Seeking whom he may just Just motivate.
Devour.
Devour. And see, that's the diabolical nature of deceit. You think everything's okay. It's my body. It's my life. And the devil will get you through deceitfulness. Be mindful of his influence. Stay focused on the game plan. So I will come through the lens, and not only as a gospel preacher today, but I will use some coaching tips that the Bible clearly gives us. Think about it. A coach before, I'm sure tonight, before those men take the field, coach is going to go in the locker room. Can you imagine the coach going in the locker room saying, there's no way we're going to win, gentlemen. We made it this far. You're in the Super Bowl. But you know what? We're going to suit up. We're going to run on the field. There's going to be a lot of flashing lights, all that. But you're going to probably lose. Now go out there and give it your best shot. That's not good coaching. Players would say, coach, we... And so I say to all of you today, be mindful. There's opposition. Don't be aware. Be so. Peter said, brothers and sisters, be sober. Be aware. Be vigilant. Be in control. And so now the continued encouragement, if you will, excuse me, in 1 John 4:4. So we're clear on who our adversary is, the devil. So our lesson text today, and our lessons today, tonight, this morning and tonight, will be the winning team. I'm not talking about the Chiefs or the 49ers. Certainly. I'm sorry, I did roll my eyes. We're talking about the one team that God is in charge of, that we and everyone can be a part of. 1 John 4:4, continued encouragement from God's word. Ye are of God, little children. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Our lesson today from these verses, perhaps a few others, is the winning team. Based on 1 John 4:4 alone, there is nothing in this world that can keep us, if we so choose, if we're faithful. There's nothing in this world greater than God. I can end the lesson right now and say, in Jesus' name, amen, and sit down. Wouldn't that be great? I'm not doing that. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. We can overcome. We can be overcomers. As Christians, it is negative speak, false teaching. And not everybody who takes the field suits up. It. So we have to have encouragement like this. Ye are of God, little children. Know who's in charge, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's confidence. When we take the field in the game of life, let's go. Head up high. God is able. And so as we think about this mentality, and I can't help but be in, you know, coach mode, because when I read scriptures like this, it is so encouraging. But what about when people talk about me? What about, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Is God enough for us? But it's 2024, and there's so many different things that's still in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So three key points today to keep us on track. Three key points. Point number one, what are the characteristics of a competitor? And I should put us as someone who competes and is victorious. Because all can compete, but not everybody wins. We're going to talk about some key characteristics. Leading by example. And last but not least, there is one team. And the victory is in Jesus. Amen? Amen. So as you think about someone who competes, and you know, someone who that's on that field or on that court, you got to be able to do a few things, and this applies to Christians as well. And I'll show you through the lens of Jesus, our perfect example. You have to be able to handle naysayers. I know some folks today use words like haters. Haters are going to hate. If you're going to be victorious, you have to have the ability to deal with naysayers. You know, when people take to court sometimes, and, you know, again, it doesn't happen in the Lord's church, obviously, but people are going to boo you in life.
Oh, you got a faithful family. You got a happy marriage. Boo. And in their mind, and some people don't literally say it, boo. I don't know if you've ever been to a sporting event. People boo you. They boo the competitor. Even as they introduce the team. People are booing it. There's a lot of hatred and vitriol in terms of just, you're my opposition. So as a competitor, and as we deal with our adversary, the devil, we have to understand there will be naysayers against the Lord's church. One church? Baptism? Commune every Sunday? Why don't just do it on the first Sunday? Make it more whatever. No, we got to follow the Bible. So we have to be able to handle naysayers as Christians. Not only that, you need to keep moving in the face of obstacles. You have to keep moving. The Bible lets us know that those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So we will get knocked down. We will go through some things. But we need to have the ability to keep on moving in the face of obstacles. And saints of God, I can't stress enough how important it is as children of God that we don't allow the cares of this world to keep us down. They're going to impact us. The storms of life will come. But and I just have to pause for a minute because there's so many children of God, some who have sat in these seats that you're in right now, who have fallen away. Some people have naysayers in their own family. Well, no, we're in a Catholic church. What is all this? No, it's only one. The Catholic church is not in the Bible. The Catholic church is not in the Bible. No other church is in the Bible. Only the church that Jesus died for. And so as you think, so there's going to be naysayers. How can that be? Because God said so. We'll face obstacles. But we also need to have the ability, get this, to make a comeback after being down and out. You look on the web, the World Wide Web, or you look on social media, you see all kinds of motivational things. The runner on track and field who fell down and got up and he ran and finished the race, and people encourage that, and people are like, applaud that. There's a young lady, they dropped the baton, they picked it up, and they kept running. So we'll get knocked down in life, but making a comeback. And so these stories, these motivational stories that man will put in front of us, but I'm here to submit to you, I submit to you today, there is no one. The greatest comeback story ever. It's not Willis Reed, for you basketball fans, that came out, someone injured, and like, he's coming out of the locker room, and he comes out limping, and everybody goes crazy. That's not it. It's not Rocky, and that's just TV, by the way. Rocky gets knocked down, and he's like, oh, he's getting up, and yeah, I'm guilty as well. I'm sitting there watching the movie, and I'm like, he's going to get up, Rocky. It's not Hollywood. In the Word of God, the greatest overcomer of all, the greatest overcomer of all, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He made the most amazing comeback the world has ever seen. Think about that. Wait a minute now. He was humiliated. He was insulted, spit upon, whipped, beaten, and nailed to a cross. So on a day where the world focuses on sport, on a day where the world focuses on who will win, who you got in the big game, in the game of life, don't you want to be with the greatest overcomer the world has ever seen? There was a false victory proclaimed. Those who executed him, nailed him to the cross, proclaimed victory. Had soldiers standing out, soldiers guarding the tomb, but it couldn't hold him. Amen, saints. Talk about, you know, if this was on TV and this was a sports story, we're like, oh my God, that brought me to tears. But why doesn't this? The greatest overcomer of all, who died for us, for our sins, with victory over sin. That's why if you're not in Christ, you're still dealing with the sin, still has dominion over you. Over death, death is not the end. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Jesus says in Revelation 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Oh, it's interesting, you see some of these athletes today, someone's victorious and they just kind of do the little, like I'm crowning you. Jesus Christ is like, I will give thee a crown of life. The Hadean world, that where the disembodied, souls, if you will, or the place of departed souls, more appropriately put spiritually. There's a place of rest. Christ had victory over all of that. Brothers, John chapter 6, give me for me John 16. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 16 and verse 33. And I'll put it up on the screen as well for your convenience in just a second. But I want the brothers to get there. John chapter 16 and verse 33. So you've heard a few things thus far. Peter says, be sober, be in control, be vigilant, be aware, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So in essence, you know, quote unquote, Coach Peter, Peter's like our brother Peter, is like, be aware. John says, children, my dear children, ye are of God. And greater is he that is in you, but you've overcome the world, because greater is he that is in you than he that is of the world. And now Jesus says in John 16 and verse 33, it's on the screen for your convenience as well. What does the Bible say, brother?
These things I have spoken unto you.
These things I've spoken unto you.
That in me ye might have peace.
Listen, that in me, Jesus speaking, in me. See, it's one thing. Can you imagine right now, even though I don't like football today, but if I said, you know what? I'm getting on a flight to Las Vegas, Nevada, and I'm going to go and run down there. And if I leave maybe right after service, I can get there in time, and I run past security. I climb a fence. People are chasing me at this point, of course. Then I run into the locker room, and I say, you know what, Coach Andy Reid or Coach Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, I'm ready to play. Those are the coaches for the two teams tonight. They would look at me and say, I don't know you. I would probably get an escort at this point out of the stadium. I wouldn't get in the stadium. But let's say if I did, I can't suit up for those teams because they don't know me. So you have to be in Christ to reap these benefits. And so Jesus says, these things have I spoken unto you. Jesus says, I've told you this, that in me, in Christ, ye might have what?
Peace.
Peace. Peace. If you choose to follow me and continue to follow me, there will be peace. Whenever you see might in the context of salvation, John 3, 16 and 17, whenever you see might in this context, Jesus is not saying, maybe I can give you peace. He's saying, no, if you continue to follow, if you are faithful unto death, if we are faithful, if I am faithful unto death, I'm a part of this too, then you're going to have peace. Because Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are here for us. The Father sent the Son, the Holy Spirit, and dwell with the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth, and the truth is in his word. Amen. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God, Ephesians 6 and verse 17. So as we look at God's word today, Jesus says, in me ye might. I want to make sure you get that because you're like, might typically means I might go, I might not. That's us. God's like, no, I am that I am. In me, you might have peace. Read.
In the world. You shall have tribulation.
See, he didn't say might. You shall. So no matter what, just keep living. You will, shall have tribulation. You all see that? Amen. Contextual teaching. If you do right, you have peace. If you don't, there's going to be problems. But in the world, you will have tribulation. Thank you, Jesus, for clarity. Come on.
But. Be of good cheer.
Jesus says, but you're in the world. But we're not of the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Remember this. So Jesus says, but be of good cheer. If you know tribulation's coming, let me just pause for a minute, Brother Ferreras, please. Saints, I'm still bewildered. I'm still It's mind-boggling to me that we still have children of God, Christians, who act like we're surprised when tribulation comes. To the point where, where's this all coming from? What's going on? What did Jesus just say? In the world, ye shall means will, have tribulation. We need to expect trials and tribulations. Gail, get for me 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. I want you to 2 Timothy 3 and 12. Let's cross-reference a little bit. I need to stay here for just a minute to make sure, because there are still children of God at various stages of maturity that still are just blown away that tribulation comes down their street. Why not you? Why not me? 2 Timothy chapter 3, I think is what I want, Gail. I'm coming back to you, Lenny. Jesus will get the last word. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. That's what I want. What does the Bible say?
Yea, or yes. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus.
And some that will live godly in Christ Jesus.
And all.
All that will live godly in Christ Jesus. So there's a choice. So everyone that lives godly in Christ Jesus.
Shall.
Might.
Shall.
Might.
Shall.
Maybe.
Shall.
Shall. You will.
Suffer persecution.
So from a legal context, the devil is sitting there waiting, chomping at the bit. He's going to blitz you on the left, the right, up the middle. He's coming at us. Expect it. Jesus is saying, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In me, you might have peace. Just keep doing what I ask you to do. Be faithful unto Jesus. Be faithful to God. Paul, to his son in the faith, Timothy, you live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. It's coming. Back to Jesus and back to our screen. Jesus says, in the world, started from there. In the world,
ye shall have tribulation.
Ye shall have tribulation. Read.
But
be
of good cheer.
Be of good cheer. Why?
I have overcome the world.
Amen, saints. That's the encouragement. So as you think about the greatest overcomer of all, he's telling us we can overcome as well. Let's take it back to some of the things we got to overcome. This may hurt a little bit, because when you have those that are close to you who betray you, it hurts. There are families, there are people in our physical families. You may have those that have hurt you in your family. I will say to you, God forgave us. You need to forgive. You want to make it to heaven, but you don't know. That was my closest cousin, and she hurt me. That was my brother. That was my sister. Sometimes even moms and dads. I've shared publicly on various stages, and certainly many times here, the consequences of our father, my physical father, Rick and I, our physical father's sin. We had to deal with that most of our life. As children, the reality of poverty, and then growing up, and then once we met our dad, there's a lot of consequences. But you know what? We told him, we forgive you. When he died, he knew his sons forgave him. He obeyed the gospel. Don't be that one that's going to be the one that's going to continue the legacy of guilt, deceit, and an unrepentant heart. We have to forgive. Amen. But that doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. And so opposition can come from within. Back to the greatest overcomer in the world has ever known. Matthew chapter 26, on the screen for your convenience. Matthew the 26th chapter. We'll begin reading at about verse 45. Brothers, I'll give you select verses as I pause. But Matthew chapter 26, you all have it? Mm-hmm. You have to have it. It's on the screen. Matthew chapter 26. Y'all pay attention. Matthew the 26th chapter, beginning at verse 45. When you think about overcoming, sometimes we got to face opposition from within. Within what? Family, within the job, within even a congregation. Mm-hmm. Not everybody is rooting for you. But we as Christians, we better be mindful. The battle belongs to the Lord. Mm-hmm. So may I be an asset to the team. Mm-hmm. May I be an asset to the team. Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 45. The Bible says, then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The hour is near. And the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Christ had to go to the cross. But prior to going to the cross, he'll be betrayed. He says the hour, it's the time is near. Rise, verse 46, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. One of the things about being intentional, Jesus says, oh, he's not far. The one who's going to betray me, he's not far from here. So oftentimes we see the need to just go ahead and intervene ourselves. Stay tuned on that. Let God handle it. Jesus said, I have to be betrayed, and he's not far that will betray me. Verse 47. Everybody with me? Everybody have it? Amen. That's better because you see it. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12 on the team, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Brethren, what did Judas say? What did the Bible say in verse 48?
Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast.
It's so interesting when you're a part of like something like the evil influence. Okay, when I wink, that's when you go ahead and do this. Mm-hmm. Judas is, today you have a plan. Don't be that behind the scenes type person. Mm-hmm. Judas said, the Bible says, now he that betrayed him gave them a sign. Here's the cue. Here's the indicator. Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same as he, hold him fast. Get him. What did Jesus do? Now, it was prophesied that he'd be betrayed. And Judas, here, is the instrument. The Bible says, what did he do? Verse 49.
And forthwith he came to Jesus.
And then after he gave, they had a plan. Gossipers have a plan. Murmurers have a plan. Behind the scenes, folks have plans. See, when I give you the signal, whichever one I kiss, that's the one you get. Get him. The Bible says, and forthwith he came to Jesus. What did he say?
And said, Hail, Master.
Look at the verbiage. Look at the verbiage. Hail, Master.
And kissed him.
What was the plan? When I kiss, get him. Hail, Master. Betraying him to his face. Opposition from within. Jesus had to overcome. But remember, there's a game plan. The game plan is Jesus had to go to the cross. So watch this. And kissed him. Verse 50, the Bible says on the screen for your convenience. Read.
And Jesus said unto him.
And Jesus said unto him.
Friend.
You dirty dog.
Friend.
Wait. What would you say? I don't even want to know. Do not answer out loud. Somebody betrayed you to your face. Hail, Master. The one I kiss, get it.
Right.
Friend.
Mm-hmm.
The perfect example. Leading by example.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just brush over this. Please understand that not only is self-control, but he was focused on the plan. Mm-hmm. For God the Father so loved the world, agape, unconditional love, that the Father gave his only begotten Son. Christ had to go to the cross. Being betrayed hurt. You have a plan, but there's a bigger plan. The game plan, the victory plan. Friend, come on.
Wherefore art thou come?
Where are you coming from? Jesus already said, he's near, that's going to betray me.
Mm-hmm.
Where art thou? Where are you coming from? Read.
Then came they. And laid hands on Jesus. And took him.
And took him.
And behold.
Here we go.
One of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear.
Hold your point. Verse 51. There is no physical defense needed for the Lord's church. The battle belongs to the Lord. We're talking spiritually. This is not a physical fight. The battle belongs to the Lord. When we talk about sound doctrine, sound teaching, the word of God will do its job. Peter is the one in particular here, who's like, wait, you're coming to get Jesus? On guard. Struck and cut off, smote off the ear of the servant's high priest. And look at what Jesus said. Look what Jesus said to Peter. He told Judas, hello, friend. Where are you coming from? Peter wants to give a physical defense for a spiritual game plan. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says,
then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place.
Put up again thy sword into his place.
For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword.
For a physical kingdom, there must be a physical defense. For a spiritual kingdom, the Lord's church, there must be a spiritual defense. If anyone questions the Lord's church, we need to give them a spiritual, need to give them a biblical answer. Don't get all upset, bent out of shape. Teach them the word of God. Jesus says in John chapter 18 and verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. Then would my servants fight. A physical kingdom requires a physical defense. The spiritual kingdom, the Lord's church, we need to continue to stand on God's word. Put up your sword, Peter. Those who live by it are going to die by it. And look at what he says. And by the way,
thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father?
Don't you think I can't pray to my Father right now?
And he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?
And he will presently give me, so you want to see them appear just like this? 12 legions of angels? God would have this place surrounded if that were the plan. But the plan is not for there to be a physical defense. I'm going to the cross. Saints of God, this Jesus died for us. This Jesus made salvation possible. He overcame death, sin, death, and hell. And that is why we should be encouraged that we have someone who leads by example. But you know what he did before he went to the cross? I'm going to take a step back. You know how sometimes when you watch a TV show that you have the what happened presently, then you kind of go back and pause and say, 3 months before, right? You ever seen that? What did Jesus do before he went to the cross? Let's go to John chapter 17. John the 17th chapter in verse number 1. See, Jesus did, and some of this I'll have to deal with tonight, but Jesus prayed for himself. If we expect opposition, continue to ask God in prayer to give you the strength to overcome. He prayed for himself. Watch this. He prayed for his disciples. And he also prayed, saints, for unity. Amen. Because we as children of God, we got to ask God, Lord, be with me. That I can be an asset. That I can be faithful. We pray for those that you gave me. Jesus prayed for those who, the saints, the disciples, those who will follow him. And then he prayed that we can be one. Saints, I'm giving you the kind of the three sections. Time won't permit me to deal with all three. I can only deal with one this morning. Verses 1 through 5. We're going to deal with the rest tonight, briefly. But understand this. If we don't stay together, if one brother says this, another brother says that, who cares what the brothers say? What does the Bible say? We have members of the Lord's church who have gone astray. But that you, I tell you what, you got to keep showing them the playbook. Keep showing them, when I say playbook, I'm talking about the Bible. We got the greatest overcomer the world has ever seen, who said in John chapter 12 and verse 48, that those who who reject me and receive not my word, has one that will judge them. The same word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. End of the day. You got to go back to the playbook. So in John chapter 17, everybody all right? In John chapter 17, beginning at verse 1, the Bible says, Lenny,
these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee.
Jesus, the time is now. So I give you two perspectives of this leading up to the same event. The crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus was with his disciples and said, one will betray me. The time is nigh. Time is near. At hand. And one will betray me. The betrayal occurred. The signal, kiss, get him. And Jesus makes it very plain. Okay, friend. Peter, put the sword away. I could call my father right now. He would have 12 legions of angels. I'm willingly going to the cross because I know the game plan. So in John 17, Jesus says, Father, he said, lift up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, Jesus praying. The hour has come. The time is now. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee. Saints, I want you to understand something. Jesus was obedient until death. If you work for somebody, if you do your job, you make them look good. If you're on a team and you run the play, you make the coach look good. What happens every year, and it happened this year as well, in a terrible sport, football. When a team doesn't win, what happens to the coach? They fire the coach. But players play and coaches coach. So someone has to be accountable. What's my point? Jesus said, Father, glorify me that I may glorify you. Be with me, Father, because I'm here to do your will. It was the same Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane that said, nevertheless, if it let this cup pass me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. He was faithful until death. John 17, verse 2.
As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him.
Jesus says, you have given power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And look at what he says, I'll drive here. And this is life eternal, that they might know that the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. What was the purpose? Father, you sent me, be with me, Father, as I go to the cross. You've given me power over all flesh. You've given me the opportunity to grant eternal life to all, to whomsoever will come. But Father, look at this. Verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know you, thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Father, ultimately, may they know you through me. Amen. I have glorified thee on earth. I've done the job. Look at this. I finished the work which you gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Before the world was. Where was Jesus before the world was even formed? With the Father. Father, I want to be with you. Father, I will be with you. But while I'm here on this earth, I will do thy will. And so, brothers and sisters and visiting friends, I want you to know that if we're going to have a true victory spiritually, you cannot have victory outside of Jesus Christ. What he went through. We sang the song today. He bore it all. Thank you, Larry, for singing that. He bore it all. When you think about he bore it all, give me Isaiah 53, brothers. I want Isaiah 53. That song that we sang, Jesus gave his life for ransom yonder on Calvary. As we think about what the Bible says, we're going to look at two verses before we take our seat. We're going to Isaiah 53. Oh, there's so much there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to zero in. I want maybe verses 4 through 6. We're going to end at 6. Or maybe we go 6 through 10. I like 6 through 10 better. Go to start at 6. Isaiah 53, verse 6.
Okay.
Turn over there, saints. Jesus is the greatest overcomer the world has ever seen. But as we go back to the messianic prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 53, start at verse 6. So let's take it down a few verses. Listen to the Bible. Isaiah chapter 53. Are you there? Say amen if you're there.
Amen.
Isaiah 53 and verse 6. Read.
All we like sheep have gone astray.
All we like sheep have gone astray. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, we should not be on the team. We have no right to be on the team, the victorious team. But all we like sheep have gone astray. Come on.
We have turned everyone to his own way.
We've done our own thing.
And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
He bore it all. When you say he bore it all, God put on him the iniquity of us all. That's why. Why am I a member of the Lord's church? Why do I only want to just be a Christian? Because there's nobody in this world, deceased or living, that can handle the sins of the world. Only Jesus. The Lord laid on him. All we like sheep have gone astray.
Every man has turned to his own way, and the Lord, the Father, laid on him the iniquity, lawlessness of us all. He bore it all. Read.
He was oppressed.
He was oppressed.
And he was afflicted.
He was afflicted.
Yet he opened not his mouth.
It wasn't a time to just to get to verbally say, "What are you all doing?" He didn't open his mouth. He suffered to pay it all, as a songwriter records. Read.
He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth.
Jesus didn't open. He went to the cross willingly and silently. Read.
He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken.
Jesus the Christ, for the transgression. Why did he do this? For the transgressions. What's a transgression? Dregression, a violation. We all have sinned. He went to the cross for our transgressions. He made his grave, verse 9, with the wicked. Was he wicked? No. Was he guilty? No. But he was crucified in the midst of two thieves. Mm-hmm. And with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence. Neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Jesus had to pay the price for us. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, an offering for sin, not his own sins, our sins. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. As Paul writes in the Church of Christ in Rome, the victory is in Jesus. The Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, right? Song leader, come on. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a peradventure for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved, victorious from wrath through him. For those that are visiting with us, and to reinforce to the saints, please understand, there is only one church that belongs to Christ. So what do you mean? So there's only one team that will be victorious. Let me say it again. Tonight, I'll close as I began. Tonight, somebody's going to be in tears, holding up a silver trophy, kissing the trophy, and their family's going to be there. I get a little emotional thinking about it. But there's going to be one team holding up a trophy. Grown men crying like babies. One team's going to be crying on the sideline. You're going to see them walking in, heads down. Battered, bruised, bloody. But somebody bled for us. And he has yet one team. There's only one playbook. We're going to talk about that tonight. We got to stay in the playbook. No division. One playbook. The Bible has to be enough. When you seek other sources, you're going to run some plays God has not authorized. There's only one church. The Bible. And that church, the Church of Christ, is a church that belongs to Christ. It's a designation for who what the Bible says. Romans 16, 16. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The church is. One church, different locations. Churches of Christ salute you. If I travel around the world, there are saints of God. Members of that one church, being on that one winning team. If I travel to Bolivia, the saints are there. I travel to Ohio. The saints are there. Anywhere in the world, one team. So don't let people, the naysayers, cause us to stumble. How can everybody fit into one building? You mean one church? We're not talking about a physical structure. The called out body of believers. Thanks be to God. No credit is ever given. As we said last week, we'll say it again. We'll continue to say it. No credit is given to any man or to any movement. You don't need to restore the Lord's church. It was created, the Bible says in Daniel 2 and verse 44, in the days of these kings shall the Lord God of heaven establish a kingdom which will never
be destroyed. Daniel, it will not be left to other people. We do not, the roots of the Lord's church are not in the 1800s, the 1700s. No, sir, no, ma'am. You need to go back to AD 33 in Jerusalem when Jesus Christ says, upon this rock, I will build my church. I don't want to be a part of anything man has constructed. I don't want to be in man's church. It's only one. It belongs to Christ. And because there's only one that belongs to Christ, it's not a part of any, and it's not a denomination. Saints of God, we need to stand on God's word and recognize and follow the plays, follow the book, follow the Bible. Because what Christ taught is very clear. We must do the Father's will. We got to run the play. Matthew 7, 21, 23 through 23, paraphrasing. You can come and say, we taught in your name, we prophesied in your name, we've done many wonderful works. Jesus professed to them in Matthew 7, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work lawlessness, ye that work iniquity. We got to do what God said. It's interesting that Judas comes to him and says, Hail, Master. Jesus says in Luke 6 and 46, Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? You got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John 8, verse 24, Jesus says, Except you believe that I am he, that I'm the Son of God, you shall die in your sins. Do you believe today that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that? If you believe that and you believe that he died, was faithful unto death, died, shed his blood, purchased the Lord's church, and then rose again with victory over sin, death, and hell, he's on the right hand of the throne of God, glorified. If you believe that with all your heart, are you willing to change your mind, repent? Jesus said, what did Jesus teach? Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We got to change our mind. Turn to God, from man and to God. And upon that change of heart, are you willing to confess Christ to be the Son of God? Jesus says plainly, and the scriptures are there for you to take a picture of and to study for yourself. If you don't confess me before my Father, I will not confess you before my Father which is in heaven. You deny me, I will deny you. That's what the Bible teaches. That sounds so harsh. That's what the Bible says. There will be people wearing all kinds of jerseys and painting their face, proclaiming their team. How dare we deny Jesus? The greatest overcomer of all. And ultimately, to get into Christ. After you've heard, believed, repented, and confessed, you must be baptized. Fully immersed in water. Sins are washed away. You come into contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus the Christ, he was the one who bore it all. If you are here today, I pray to God on this quote-unquote super Sunday. And by the way, last Sunday was super. Next Sunday is super because we serve an awesome God who gives us all the opportunity to be on the winning team. If you stand in need, please make your request known in the chat or right now as we together stand and sing. Won't you come?